I feel like the world really needs all of us connected to our body and our pleasure and our sexuality right now. And I feel like we wouldn't be in the mess we're in on the planet if we all were able to feel comfortable in our sexuality and our bodies and not have shame and contraction. And if we were totally on board with our feminine, and by that I mean us as women, but also men, that they can access their emotions and be able to express them and feel confident doing that. If we were able to revere the feminine in that way, we would be in a very different position. Really passionate about doing what I can to have the conversations and to help inspire women, you know, if they're not happy and they're not fulfilled, to know that there's something you can do about it and to not just put up with it.
Hello, beautiful women. And welcome to the Claimed podcast. I'm Anna Rova, your host. And let me tell you a little bit about myself if you're new to the podcast. I'm a femininity and feminine embodiment coach. And I run a very powerful program for single successful women who want to attract and keep committed masculine men, or women who are already in relationships but want to change that feminine masculine polarity in their relationship. All right, beautiful women, welcome to another awesome podcast episode on Claimed Podcast. So today I talked to Mangala Holland, and she is the founder of Sacred School of Shakti, and she's an international facilitator of women's groups, rituals, retreats, and workshops, and also offering private mentoring. She teaches worldwide, primarily in Australia, Bali, Thailand, USA, India, and Mexico. Mangala places a strong emphasis on self-love, embodiment, and empowerment, bringing the sacred into all elements of her life and teachings. She gives people the tools to empower themselves sexually and spiritually. She believes that with the purest of intentions, sexual energy can be harnessed for our personal growth and spiritual evolution, and teaches in a no-nonsense, accessible style. She's also a certified teacher of Michaela Boehm's trainings and trained in trauma-informed facilitation. So Mangala and I talked today about, before we got on the podcast, I asked her, number one, what is her current passion? And she said, you know, she's really, really passionate talking about the dogma around sexuality and the conditioning and why do we have that in society. And then I asked her, what is the one question that everybody should be asking you but are not asking you? And she said, my vision for the world. So make sure you tune into that. That's what we talk about. We also talk about, you know, like sexuality and pleasure being the tools for empowerment, which I find really, really refreshing in today's world, obviously. So we discuss that. We discuss, obviously, the dogma and what to do if you're dead down there. you know, and she shares some practical tools and resources and some of the challenges that modern women are facing today who are busy, who are successful, who are mothers like me, you know, and all of that. We talk about the importance of boundaries and how does she actually work with women in a, you know, 6 to 12 month container to actually have that and I guess feel into your yes, feel into your no, and how to bring pleasure and sexuality into your life. And of course, stay until the end because Mangala is going to share with us 3 amazing books that have changed her life. And she also mentioned a book in the beginning when I asked her, what is the book that you plan on reading? So stay for that. And then she also mentions 3 amazing people, women that you should follow. So that's it. Enjoy this episode and I'll see you at the end. All right, Claimed listeners, today I have a very special woman with me. Her name is Mangala Holland, and she is coming all the way from UK. Hi, Mangala. How are you? Welcome.
Hi, Anna. Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
I was just telling you before this interview that I don't even know. I think it's been a year since we've been in touch, and you're supposed to come to this podcast, and then finally you're here, and I've just been telling you that I've been dabbling with, actually wasn't feeling very well, you know, yesterday, and I was dabbling with canceling this, but I'm like, no, I can't do it because Mangala's gonna kill me. Like, you know, this is not okay. So, yeah, I just said, you know, I'm just going to show up and see what happens. And we chatted already about some of the subjects that you're really passionate about. So that got me fired up a little bit. So let's see where this goes. So before you introduce yourself, Mangal, I'd love to ask you some icebreaker questions, as I call them. So we'll start with, I'm curious, Mangal, what is a book that you plan on reading?
Oh, okay. I have a big list of books on my list. And actually, a client yesterday recommended one to me that I'm dying to dive into next. And it's called Diana Herself, or Diane Herself. And it's a fiction book about, as far as I understand, a woman who goes off into the woods, and it's very mythical, lots of stuff about creatures. And it kind of, my understanding is it kind of really explains different female archetypes, but in a really beautiful fictional way. So that's something I'm interested in reading, because my client had some massive breakthroughs reading it. And I can think of other women that would really benefit from that. So, yeah.
Wow, cool. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll link in the show notes for sure. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that with us. So next up, what is the one thing, Mangala, that you cannot live without?
Tea. I'm English.
What kind of tea?
Right now I'm drinking cinnamon tea, but I love all kind of herbal teas. I love green teas. I love pu'er, oolong, all the kind of really high grade Chinese teas. I love matcha. I love all these gourmet ceremonial grade. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a big tea girl. I can see that for sure. Awesome. All right. And last question for the icebreaker is, what's your biggest fear?
Biggest fear? So I've recently started to learn to drive after 30 years of not driving. And that's bringing up a lot of insecurities. So I'm fine talking on stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people. And, you know, I know so many people have fear around that, but I feel very comfortable there. But get me up to a junction where I've got to turn right or a roundabout, and I kind of lose all my composure. So that's something that's very, very present at the moment for me.
Yeah. I can totally relate. Oh my gosh. I got my license very quickly, like 3 years ago. And then while here in Australia, we have to drive because we're in a small town in Canberra. Well, not small, but you know, we're in a town, Canberra, where you have to drive everywhere pretty much. And I had to learn. And when I was learning, I was pregnant. Well, not learning. I kind of knew how to drive, but I didn't know the rules and everything. And I can tell you, learning how to drive was the biggest challenge of my life.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was terrified, like completely terrified. And imagine me being also pregnant and then having a baby in the backseat. Like, wow. Oh my gosh. I remember like I was so frustrated. Like it was the biggest stress of my life, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I couldn't get it. And I'm like, people do it. Even like, I'm not dumb. You know, there's like, it's just amazing how, I don't know. It's just so terrifying. But then as time went by, so I'm driving already now about 2 years. And to me, like, you know, I can now like listen to podcasts and talk to people on the phone and drive. And people are telling me like, there's going to be a time where you're going to drive and it's going to come like you're not even going to think about it. So I'm there now. But I remember like I had to turn everything off and be like super focused. And well, granted that Australia, you know, and especially here, it's so easy to drive. Everything is like traffic lights and roundabouts and so easy. But I was watching another movie yesterday and it totally terrified me because I saw this junction, what you're talking about. And I think there's like, I don't know how many lanes, but you know, one of those huge, and it's unregulated, as in like there's no traffic light or whatever. And I'm like, that would be my biggest nightmare. What do I do? Yeah. Are you going through similar feelings now?
Yeah, exactly. And I know that, like, you know, in a year's time or something, you know, I know it won't be long before it does feel like second nature and everything else, but I'm just in that uncomfortable newness of being really far out of my comfort zone. So,
yeah, just the fear of like getting into an accident and things happening. And sometimes I think about, you know, I drive and I sometimes think, oh my gosh, what if like I'm doing all the right things, but then a car just crashes? It's just the same. Anyways, well, good to know. So let's move on. So tell me, Mangal, I'm really curious. Just, let us know, introduce yourself, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a female empowerment and sexuality coach, and I work with women all over the world in my group programs and in my one-to-one VIP coaching. And I'm on a mission to really help women feel empowered in themselves and using, like, connecting to their sexuality and their pleasure as a tool for empowerment, because I really believe that once you get harmonious with your sexuality, it affects every area of your life. And it's often where we have a lot of our biggest contractions and insecurities. And I really have a superpower at helping women become orgasmic, which is really, really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Definitely awesome. So I want to unpack that a little bit, because obviously I've been, you know, interviewing people about this, and this is my own personal journey. And I've come to realize that more and more that indeed, I love that you're saying sexuality and pleasure is a tool for empowerment. But I feel like most women, obviously, like the world that we live in doesn't, and women themselves do not look at it as that. Mm-hmm. You know, pleasure and sexuality is something that is considered, you know, like a luxury today or something to be disregarded. And so I want to hear your thoughts first, Mangala, on the whole female, the female empowerment that you talk about is very different about the female empowerment that's portrayed now everywhere in the media and in, you know, modern day feminism, which I'm not a huge fan of. So mm-hmm. I just want to hear your thoughts on that empowerment versus the empowerment that you talk about.
Yeah. So let me pull that apart a little bit. Like, I don't think it's helpful to replace one set of rules and conditioning with another. And I've seen a lot of this, not all of it, but some of the stuff in this work is about, you know, it hypersexualizes women, or it portrays this idea of, like, you know, this sexually open, free, available woman, and that is the ideal, and all you need to do is surrender and be this goddess. And for a lot of the clients I work with, they feel like they're a million miles away from that, and they feel like that's something that's so unachievable, because it's not often, like, you know, they've got big jobs and careers, and, you know, many of them are mums, and, you know, it's just like in long-term relationships, and it's like, well, this idea of just, like, let go a bit more and just soften more and all this kind of stuff. It's like, that can only happen when you're in a really safe container and when you've learned to really trust yourself and you've got healthy boundaries and you can really trust your body and your intuition and your instincts. So I think there's a lot more to it. Yeah, I came from my own journey in neo-tantra, and I swallowed a lot of dogma on this for a long time, where we were really told that, you know, to be Shakti, you have to dress a certain way and act a certain way, and, you know, the man's needs come first. And it was really disempowering, dressed up as, this is what tantra is, this is what sexuality is, and this is kind of the new paradigm. But it was it was pretty yuck, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm really a big fan of helping women really get current with their own feelings and start to really tune into what they're feeling in their body and getting really congruent with that so they can make informed choices and create healthy boundaries and practice saying no and all these kind of things, and really giving them the tools to become their own best lover so that they're able to ask for what they want in relationship and be able to get their needs met.
Yeah, really interesting where you took that, because my question, I guess, was more about what do you, Mangala, think about, not, I guess, so I understand how you saw that question as in, like, well, what do you think about female sexuality empowerment? Mm-hmm. I was just talking about female empowerment today in general, where actually women are told to be men, pretty much go and work hard and push, 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 and completely disregard that you have a different body, a different system, and you work differently. That was kind of my original question. Yeah. But I like where you took it, where you kind of compared, I guess, the dogma of this, like, sexually awakened goddess that, you know, we see on Instagram, these women who are, you know, like, with their naked bodies and, like, and to be honest, like, I also coach women, and obviously, and I know you're an embodiment teacher as well. I know you're doing your, going again through the teacher training with Michaela Bohm on non-linear movement. I'm trained with Jenna Ward, which I think...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know Jenna.
Yeah, so I'm a feminine embodiment coach, obviously, but, you know, but I'm also a woman, and what you talk about, and a mom, and a wife, and I have a business, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because a lot of the times... And I know how my clients feel, because I feel the same way. Like, I look at all these women on Instagram, and I'm constantly, that's why I think part of the reason why Mangala today, I was hesitant on going out there and interviewing people and everything, because there's just too much stimulation. You know, I feel the need for space, for stillness, for quietness, and to kind of ruminate in my own work and kind of take a pause from being in other people's work. And I've interviewed these women on the podcast as well. They're amazing. But just seeing this woman being in her, oh my God, amazing glory, and in her body and everything, I'm just sitting there how the hell am I going to do that? You know? Mm-hmm. And then I just shut down, because I realized it just feels too much for me. And yeah. When we're bombarded with all of that every day, it's just insane. So yeah. I love that you're saying that. And I read your post about de-armoring, where you said, you know, it doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. It's literally doing the baby steps. And that's what I do with women that I work with, because yeah. I am also a feminine embodiment coach. So I love that you say it's a retune to just start with just starting to feel again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're right. Going there, that image of this sexually awakened goddess is so far away, even for me, you know? And so I know for me, I just need to do my embodiment practice, you know, and the more I get in touch with my body, the more things open up. But I'm definitely still far away from even self-pleasure practice, you know, a consistent one. But I know that it's a baby step. And the first step is really feeling safe and kind of sure in your own body, and giving yourself the space to just do that.
And, you know, it's exactly the same as the question you really were asking about, you know, that kind of pushy, you know, be like a man, be goal-driven, be outcome-focused, have an agenda. You know, what I'm seeing is, I mean, I have my own background in that, in corporate burnout. And when I became an entrepreneur, I took that on as well and nearly burnt out. You know, as I'm sure many of us have. And it's the same thing if we're approaching self-pleasure and sexuality from that paradigm, rather than listening to the needs of our body. It's exactly the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. It's like we're not giving ourselves the space for the feelings to emerge. Yeah. And I think when we come from a more subtle, emergent space and a more natural, okay, let's be curious. Some days your self-pleasure practice might be just resting, rather than as I had a conversation with someone today, instead of okay, now I tick the box and I've massaged my breasts and now I do my internal work, check, you know, it's like, how is that helping you in the long run? It's not maybe necessarily if it's coming from this should, I've got to get this done, you know.
Yeah, because when I think about, you know, self-pleasure practice in terms of literally, you know, I love that you're saying self-pleasure can mean different things. And it's almost I sometimes feel guilty about not actually doing sexual self-pleasure, right? And I'll share with you a story, Mangal. I think this is the first time I think I've shared in another interview, but so for me personally, because I obviously busy schedule, I'm a mom, I run a business, and I do have things in place that are my self-care practices. You know, I go to the gym, I have my morning routine, I have my embodiment practices, all of that stuff. And I try to rest a lot. And within that, I'm where do I fit actually, you know, self-pleasure and masturbation, for example? I literally did not have the time for it.
Yeah.
How do I make that happen on a practical level? So what I do in terms of sexuality and sex in general, me and my husband, we have that, you know, once a week, we have a scheduled time where we get together, and not even, the idea is not to have sex, but the idea is to get intimacy and pleasure and things like that. And I also had an incident the other day, because I go to the gym 3 times a week, and then there's a jacuzzi and a spa, and I've been going for months now, but I don't know why it happened recently. And I'm in a jacuzzi and I'm kind of riding around, you know, and there's jets around, and I kind of rolled around a little bit, and then one of the jets hit well, not the G spot, but the spot, you know? And I kind of wriggled in it. And the worst part, or maybe the best part, is that there's only like the rule two people in the jacuzzi, because I think it's like 2x2 or something. There was a man in a jacuzzi with me, like, you know, 2 meters away from me. And I literally, you know, I just got an orgasm, obviously, a clear orgasm with the jet in the spa. And I texted my girlfriend, she was laughing her ass off. And I'm like, but hang on, I kind of liked it. So I just stayed and I hit the second time. And I'm like, ooh, like, this is my self-pleasure practice. But I realized, like, I can't, you know, I mean, oh, I laughed so hard with my husband. It's like, I can't go to the gym and, like, to get my thing off, you know, like. That's funny. But yeah, like, what would you tell women, Mangala, like me, who, you know, we have our self-care practice, and I guess when you have that established, then we can take it a step further.
Yeah.
But when a woman like me comes to you, like, how do you actually get there? You know, like, I would love, because I can share with you, Mangala, I know that my power as a woman lies in my sex. Every time I go into, and I've discovered, and I'd love for you to talk about this if you felt that. Mm. I know that the amount of money and revenue and abundance and lifestyle that I want and what's possible for me lives in my vagina, pretty much, to my sexuality.
Yeah.
And so I ponder on this from time to time. I'm often thinking about a teacher that I can follow and learn. I'm constantly looking for a woman who has mastered that and also has, let's say, a seven-figure business that I can follow and learn from. Yeah. But guess what? I can't find these women anywhere. And so, just curious on your thoughts and all of that.
Yeah, you're totally right. There is such a connection, because this is creativity. It's our life force. It's abundance. It's pleasure. It's all of that. The best months I've had in my business have also been, thinking about this year, have also when I've been having the most amazing sex and incredible orgasms, you know, it's no coincidence. And, you know, when we're lit up in that way, it really amplifies that magnetism as well, and the self-confidence, and that ease and that flow and that joy of just life, you know, that juice of life. So it's much easier to tap into that current rather than being in scarcity and being in push mode and striving and contracted and everything feeling challenging and hard, and that daily kind of grind energy that, particularly as entrepreneurs, we can definitely get trapped in that cycle if we're not careful. And one of the things I find really helpful for busy women like you is, rather than prescribing you a load of practices, you know, that are going to eat, that is going to feel overwhelming, it's like to really drill things down into really small, manageable chunks, like whether it's 5 or 10 minutes of movement every day, rather than trying to aim for a big long session. You know, like, one of my clients at the moment is a scientist, and she was saying that, you know, the idea of, oh my gosh, now I've got to pleasure myself for an hour, it feels totally overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just like, what happens if I just give myself 10 minutes to drop into my body and check in and see how I'm feeling? And if it's feeling good, I'll explore a bit more. And if I'm getting a no or I'm too tired, then I honor that and I leave it there. And it's like, if we can just keep a bit more of that fluidity, that can be super, super helpful. And I do believe that little small bits of practice every day can really kind of shift your baseline, pleasure-wise, stress-wise, relaxation-wise. And I'd also say on there that one thing that's really worked for me and a lot of my high-end clients is, I think there's nothing more nurturing and relaxing and feeling really good in our system than seeing a chunk of time in your diary or your calendar of just like, whether it's 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, where there's nothing booked in. And just that concept of unstructured, like, oh, wow, I've got a free evening or a free afternoon, you know?
Well, the challenge with that is not to go ahead and book stuff in. Exactly. Or like thinking about, that's my default. It's like, all right, 3 hours. What do I do in this 3 hours? You know? Yeah. So I had to actively, so in the last month, because I did burn out a few times, especially in the last 6 months. That's why, I mean, it's all related to who I want to interview, what do I want to do, because I became so protective of my energy. And I realized I can't do it. And I decided to delegate everything, let go of the, you know, of the label, I'm a business owner, I'm a businesswoman, like whatever, I don't care. And I also realized, because I have a daughter, she's two now, I realized that, you know, in this whole pursuit of success or business success, abundance, whatever, I started missing her a lot. And I lost that connection a little bit. And so I actually pulled back massively now, and I decided to take off one day a week to be with her. And anyways, that's also connected to my desire and my craving for a second child now, because now I'm like, you know what? All I want to do is make babies. That's it.
Awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is also connected, obviously, to sexuality and procreation and all of that. And so my challenge, because I am an ambitious driven woman like so many of us are, is like literally seeing that space and being like, oh, you know, I'm just going to do nothing.
Yeah.
And not letting, because the to-do list is never ending. It's always there.
Absolutely. You know?
So that's such a gift and such a thing that, you know, I'm still struggling with it, but I'm getting a lot better at like everything can wait and I don't even care, you know. Yeah. So
So many women feel guilt about doing nothing or taking that rest, or, you know, feeling guilt for feeling pleasure. You know, it's very tied up with our conditioning.
Yeah, that's what happens with me, because I'm constantly like, even with this podcast, Mangala, I have two episodes coming every week. And the numbers are growing, and everybody listening, thank you so much. Because I, you know, and you see that, and the masculine way of going about it is like, well, it's working, so you're just going to continue because the numbers are going to increase, and that leads to this and this, more clients, blah, blah. And then I kind of like, you know, drag myself to not necessarily this interview, it doesn't have anything to do with you, but it's just the hassle, the grind of it all. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do it. And so I'm just sitting in that, how can I create more space, maybe even pull back? And I'm actually noticing, which is really interesting, like my male mentors that I follow in terms of business, I notice them pulling back from this mentality of like more, do, more income, more money, bigger, to actually pulling back and saying, one of my biggest mentors now, you know, like he was doing 36 million a year, and now he's like, you know what, we pulled back to like 10 million a year with a lean team, and we love what we're doing, and this is working. And I was like, oh wow, you know. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like a side note of what I'm noticing. But on the matter of small bits, I'm really curious, Mangala, what are some of the, like, for women listening and even for myself, what are some of the practical things that we can do today as busy women, you know? Well, number one is not trying to be a sexual goddess, right away, at least, you know. What are some other practical things that you recommend doing?
So one of the things I'm really a big fan of is just moving your body. So whether it's dancing while you're getting ready, you know, another thing I love to give busy clients is to do your breast massage or any other like caressing self kind of nurturing practices. Do them when you're in the shower, because that's often your only safe place when you've got kids. It's the only place where you can lock the door and have some privacy. So making the most of that time in the morning. And also another great one is just to shake your body out while you're making your cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is in the morning. You know, and just using that time, it might only be a couple of minutes, but it's going to energize you. It's going to move old stuff through. It's going to make you feel alive and vibrant and connected to your body and your pleasure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Super, super simple, accessible gateways in.
Yeah. Okay, so move your body, self-touch in the shower. I started doing that. And the shower is the moment where it's like there's hot water, there's a few minutes, and just by yourself. And I love it. I do it in the morning and in the evening. It's like a reset button for everything. And then shake your body out. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do it in my daily embodiment practice, obviously. But I mean, it's so important. And you know, the more I work with women, Mangala, like some women, I mean, obviously embodiment is the modality that I use to work with women. And I know you do that as well.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how so like they just wake up.
Yeah.
And some of my clients have gone further to even like get their certification in feminine embodiment, because they're like, oh my God, what is this? You know?
Yeah.
So, and I really feel That's why, for example, someone like Jenna Ward that I've trained with, you know, and other embodiment teachers are like, that's, I believe that that's the future.
Yeah.
At least for women and men, but embodied women are the women who are going to drive, you know, the new feminism forward.
Yeah.
Because I really think that's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then our decisions and how we go about life and how we are just changes everything. Obviously, my focus is I work with women to attract a partner and masculine men in their life, but it affects all areas of life, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And even like making decisions, you know, like I've got one friend of mine when she was building her website, she had a yoga mat in every room of her house. And whenever she had to make big decisions about the site, she'd just get onto the mat and do some movement practice and just wait for the right decision to come to her. And she knew she could trust it because it was coming from deep within rather than being in the head and being stuck in the thought loops. And
right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the best way to unwind and get out of, I mean, getting out of your head, obviously, is just move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why for me, you know, the more I work with women in my particular type of work, the more, what does this have to do with men? So I've done something really interesting without even realizing in Mangala. I've taken all the embodiment stuff and I've put together a process of how women can use that to attract their men, you know, their masculine partner, and just apply this into dating and relationships. And it's amazing because when a woman just gets out of her head of creating a story of why he didn't call, how many days it has been. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's such a pain for women. When they get out of that, when they stop with the story, they drop into their body, the here and now, it's such a gift. It's such a gift to men and to relationships when the woman is just here and present and like laughing and being in her body. And I just love it when women are like, oh my God, all these men, where was I living like all my life? And I'm like, yeah, because you've been in your head all the time trying to think and figure it out, but it's not about that. So it's just, I'm just so passionate about it. And it's amazing. So let's talk about, before we talk about, you know, your vision for the world, and I want to talk about conditioning as well. I guess that leads, so in the beginning, I asked you, Mangala, about what are you passionate about in the moment? And you just said, you know, the dogma about sexuality, the taboos, why do we have that in society, the mask of the, you know, the awakened feminine or whatever. And I guess that relates to what you mentioned at the beginning in the neo-tantra world and what you've discovered and learned. Is that all, I guess that's all connected and kind of your mission, what you're passionate about is kind of dismantling that. And some of the Facebook posts that I read that you put out there is literally talking about that. It's like, no, that's not true. Or, you know, like this is happening. So make sure, you know, and I've heard, I mean, obviously Tantra has always been enveloped in all these controversies about everything, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's have that. So I guess we start with what are some of these dogmas that you talk about that you found and are still very present out there that we need to really tackle and think about?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the system I came through, it was very much a strong teaching of like, you need to be initiated by a man and, you know, this is...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You need a man to awaken you sexually. So you can surrender more. And it's like, wow. And I saw so many women get damaged by that because, you know, the power differentials that can play out in that way, you know, when it's like student teacher particularly is very, very dangerous and open for all kinds of abuse. So I'm really passionate about, you know, every time I speak with a client and I kind of give them tools and techniques to, you know, work on specific orgasms or help them move through specific numbness or whatever, everybody's like, why weren't we taught this at school? Yeah. Like, why am I 40 something before I get this information? Why did I not know all of this was possible? And that's something I hear a lot. And I do feel that we're still holding, even in this day and age, this idea that female sexuality is inherently dangerous and dirty and overwhelming, and that we need to be controlled, you know? And there's this element of danger, or, you know, we can. Our energy is so strong that men can't control themselves and all that kind of rubbish, you know. And I just think that the more we can learn from other women and talk about this stuff and shed light on this stuff, the more natural it is and the less shame women are going to hold, and the more we can be educated and informed and make wise choices. And what I'm seeing now in my own journey as I'm turning 48 at the end of the month, you know, is I'm in my perimenopause years, and nobody mentioned, I didn't even know perimenopause existed up until like a few years ago, because nobody talks about it until you get closer to it. And it's this kind of stuff. I think if we could have much more honest, open conversations in society in general, because female sexuality is still either very taboo or hypersexualized and used to sell products and is like this very false image of sexuality that doesn't really give room for all of our different expressions as women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's unpack that. Because you said, I mean, you know, there's still this idea that female sexuality is dangerous, dirty, overwhelming. And do we need to have the honest conversation and the open conversation about those false images and how to really shame and all of that? So let's have an honest conversation about it. So what is something that you feel really passionate about in terms of, so what is the conversation that we need to have, or what are the few threads that you're finding are super important today?
So, and this is not my area of expertise, because I don't work with, you know, teens and younger, you know, younger adults, but I really feel like the conversations about pleasure and self-pleasure and orgasm really need to be brought in at a much younger age, because I'm noticing a lot of people asking, you know, where are the resources, you know, for my 13, 14-year-old? How do I allow her to become empowered in her sexuality in a teaching that is, like, you know, accessible for them at their age? And I think if we could get more young adults engaged in these conversations before, you know, because most of them are getting their education from porn and not from more empowered places, that we could really shift this paradigm and have much better conversations about doing things that feel right for us and having healthy boundaries and tuning in and checking in first and not giving your power away for the sake of male attention, and, you know, all this kind of stuff that many of us experienced when we were that age. So, yeah, I think that would be a really good place to start with some of this. I'd love more women to feel really comfortable with their genitals. Mm-hmm. So many women, even, like, you know, something I'm unpacking at the moment, is, and this kind of ties in with the dogma, is like what words we use for our lady parts. And I've used the word yoni for like the last, yeah, I don't know, 12 years, because I've been in like these, you know, the hippie scenes and the tantric circles and the conscious community. And it was it just felt like a very beautiful word to use, and felt much nicer than a lot of the offensive words out there that are, you know, most of the words for female genitalia are also used as insults and swear words and this kind of stuff, and you know, have this kind of harsh connotation. Mm-hmm. And then recently, as I'm going deeper in my anti-racism inner journey, it's like, well, hang on, where's the cultural appropriation in a white chick using the word yoni, and is this appropriate? So I'm kind of pulling all this apart, because this has been my life's work for the last however many years, and I'm like, wow, you know, where do I sit in all this?
So where do you sit in all this?
Well, right now, I'm still in the inquiry. I'm having discussions with my mentors and with other people in the field. And it's like, there's no one definitive thing. You know, it's like, well, what's coming through my body is this, it's leading me into a richer inquiry in my work. And even less in position of kind of really being with a woman, with my clients, and like, well, what are the words you use and what feels right to you, and what's your relationship with this part of your body? And that's a really powerful point to access, you know, and even just sat with that, the relationship with our vulva, our vagina, our yoni, pussy, whatever you want to call her. This is a really key part of our whole existence. And it's where we have a lot of the most shame, where there's a lot of the taboos, you know, about look or smell or ideas of this being dirty or shameful. And all of this stuff is so intimately tied up there. And I think this is a really important thing to look at.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious on a very practical level, Mangala, let's talk about, you know, about your work and how you go about working with women and what are some of the, so let's, I guess, unpack in terms of what are some of the biggest challenges that you see your clients and the women that you work with are struggling with today?
So a lot of it is feeling very disconnected from the body, disconnected from themselves and the partner. Often it can have a massive impact on the relationship. It can be this sense of, one of my clients, she said, it's just dead down there. When we started working together, that was the phrase she used. And that kind of really stuck with me. It's just this feeling of just existing from the neck upwards and being stuck in that daily grind and feeling just like not fulfilled. Like there should be something more to this than what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what do you do with them?
Yeah.
How do you awaken it all?
So I take a very holistic approach. And so we'll start with embodiment practices normally and give them practical tools to, as we've already discovered, you know, start getting into their bodies so that they can be really tuned in and notice what they're feeling and get current with their feelings and know when it's a no for themselves, what a hell yes is and what a hell no is and what's a, oh, I'm not sure, because so many of us have overridden that throughout our lives, particularly when it comes to intimacy and self-pleasure as well. So really pulling that apart. And we also end up looking at, you know, what's going on in their work life, what's going on in their relationship, what's going on in their work-life balance. You know, this stuff impacts every area of our lives. And likewise, as I'm sure you've experienced, you might go through phases where everything's flowing and you're in a good place. And yeah, then you've got a bit of time for the self-pleasure and you're feeling juicy and everything's kind of going along nicely. And then something comes along, you know, life gets in the way. And then that's it. You just hit the resistance or you hit a wall or you bump up against something and you feel like you've gone back to square one and it's like, how the hell do I get going again? And this is really, really common. And so that's where I found that working with women over 6 or 12 months is really supportive, because then you can move through those waves of life and build into that some solid, sustainable change from the ground upwards.
Yeah, well, I'm really curious about the details of that, you know, because as a practitioner to another practitioner, what is exactly, I guess, the process that you use? I mean, 6 to 12 months is a really long time, and obviously I can see how that would provide for the space for all of this to unfold. So with embodiment practices, I guess just noticing your body and noticing your boundaries, maybe we should talk about boundaries, because you mentioned that a few times. So how do you go about that? Or like, what is your specific, I guess, like working modality with it? And how do you teach women to, first of all, set boundaries and then feel into them and then practice them?
I come at this from a very embodied approach rather than a cognitive approach, because what often happens is, you know, people will say, I'll ask them like, well, what do you like it saying no? And normally they'll laugh and go, oh yeah, I'm crap at saying no. Or there'll be one area of their life where they're all right with this, but on the whole, there's a pattern, and that pattern will show up as overgiving as a way of getting validation. It's a very common one. You know, that inner people pleaser will try and take over and try and keep the peace and keep everybody happy. And that's really common with women, particularly, that wanting to be the peacekeeper and hold everybody. So that's a big thing. I really encourage them to like do some journaling on that and look at what's underneath that and really go do some deep meditations and reflections on, you know, where's that come from childhood? What are the patterns there? What did you get from your mother? You know, because normally there's some stuff handed down there with her patterning. And also, you know, through doing the embodiment, the movement practices, I'm a teacher in the nonlinear movement method, and I've I've been teaching this modality for quite a few years, and I've practiced it pretty much every day for, I don't know, 4.5 years or something. And what that's given me, just through moving my body in this way and getting current with my feelings, it's like the sense that something is not 100% aligned or something just feels off. It's like that kind of spidey sense, you know, it's like that kicks in much quicker when you're in your body. And you're able to get a read on a situation. And it's that kind of confidence in yourself and self-trust also helps with creating healthy boundaries. So I come at it from the embodied approach and also getting the clients to unpack what's, you know, what the patterns are that they've inherited or that are unconscious that they're continuing. And then the main thing that we also work with is really getting clear on what a hell yes feels like in your vagina and not overriding that. So that means not putting anything inside when you're not getting a hell yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what I've found with some of my clients, that means that they actually end up having less sex and less self-pleasure for a month or two while they recalibrate and get really clear on, well, am I just doing this and I'm going through the motions, or am I actually really wanting to do this? And there's some really deep unraveling that happens in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happens then? Does this happen in actual sessions with you? Because I know you have one-on-one clients and also group programs, but in your, when you meet with women like this, I guess on Zoom or whatever, do you actually do practices together? Or, I mean, is there any vagina touching or whatever?
No. We do some movement practice where they're fully clothed and they're on a yoga mat. Everything else is, here's your homework, go away in your own safe space and explore it and come back and let me know how you get on. Mm-hmm. My clients love it. They say, you know, I give the juiciest homework.
What would be, can you give us an example of a homework that you've done, that you've given that's juicy?
Self-pleasure is obviously on the cards, and just exploring breasts, you know, really connecting into different parts of the body. And another thing that I really love to get my clients to do is to look at cultivating pleasure in a non-sexual way as well. So where can you, you know, what brings you joy? What lights you up? And particularly during the kind of the initial lockdown period, this was really profound for a lot of my clients. It's like, if you can only go out and have a brief walk every day, how can you find the freshness in your everyday existence, you know? And is that just seeing new leaves on a tree, or this bit of nature, or this flower in somebody's garden as you're walking down the street? It's like, how can we consciously, you know, orient and cultivate a sense of pleasure and joy and freshness and make that more of our daily existence? And that really helps support people's nervous systems and brings in a sense of lightness and sweetness.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, beautiful.
Hi, girlfriends. Sorry to interrupt your listening to the episode, but I quickly wanted to jump in and let you know that I have prepared something exciting for you. If you're interested in polarity, femininity, and how to embrace your feminine and how to attract primarily masculine men in your life, this announcement is going to be very useful for you, because I'm talking about my signature training. I'm like, how do I describe this experience? Because it's really an experience, you know. This is a signature training, my 1-hour webinar that I've put together. And it honestly, it's been through a few iterations in the last 2 years, but I feel like this is the best yet training of mine that didn't come from, you know, reading 2 books and 3 courses and like coming together in a copy paste thing that I now advise women to do. No, this has come from me, my own lived experience through my dating life and through finding and attracting the masculine man of my dreams and then marrying him and creating a family. This also came, yes, indeed, from a lot of research and learning and courses and coaches and, oh my God, you name it. You know, it's been a journey of 5 years for me about that time. And also this has come from my clients. So the previous training, how is this different if you've signed up for another training of mine, which was the Live Female Success, by the way? This is different because this is now coming through a distillation of my work one-on-one with women who I've helped get to that place where they're just attracting better men and they start attracting better masculine men and are on their way to actually to a relationship eventually. Not only masculine, but also masculine committed men. So if you are in a situation where you're attracting men that are less than desirable, let's say they're feminine men who don't want to lead, don't want to take charge, and men who are unavailable, then this training is for you. I will have to call this training How to Start Attracting Your Masculine Committed Men, basically in 30 days or less. And in this training, I will share with you some of the key things that I've learned throughout this journey that are helping. That's what my work with women is based on. So in this 60-minute training, you'll find the number one reason why you're still single and can't attract a committed masculine man. It's not what you think. How to break through the patterns of attracting unavailable or feminine men, as I said, and find your blind spot so you can attract the men you want. How to master the feminine masculine polarity so you start feeling taken care of, claimed, and finally be able to let go of control and uncover the lie of female success that's keeping you stuck, exhausted, and unfulfilled, which means in masculine energy all the time, so you can start living in freedom and joy and much, much more. So if you're interested, go to girlskill.com/webinar, sign up, and I can't wait for you to see this training and to let me know how it went. And by the way, there are no replays for this, so make sure you select the time that you can show up and be fully present. All right, I'm going to jump off and you continue listening to this episode.
Let's talk about, Mangala, your vision for the world and the bigger world, because you said this is something that you probably should be asked, but probably weren't asked enough. Yeah. So tell us about your vision for the world.
It's almost like I don't want to say it's psychic, but I have this intuitive ability to really see beyond the surface with people and to see the version of themselves that's like, you know, the potential in them and where they can be. And if we strip away all that crap, this is, you know, this is what's possible for them. And I really see this so clearly with so many people. And I would love everybody to be able to feel that for themselves and to really be able to see their own potential and to bust through those limiting beliefs and to be able to access that. And I feel like I'm on just this massive mission to really help. I feel like the world really needs all of us connected to our body and our pleasure and our sexuality right now. And I feel like we wouldn't be in the mess we're in on the planet if we all were able to feel comfortable in our sexuality, in our bodies, and not have shame and contraction. And if we were totally on board with our feminine, and by that I mean us as women, but also men, that they can access their emotions and be able to express them and feel confident doing that, and to access the feminine energy of the planet and the earth. And I think if we were able to revere the feminine in that way, we would be in a very different position. So I'm really, really passionate about doing what I can to have the conversations and to help inspire women, particularly to really, you know, not settle and to know that, you know, if they're not happy and they're not fulfilled, to know that there's something you can do about it and to not just put up with it.
Mm-hmm. And can you portray and describe that world? How would that look like for you if women in particular were connected to their bodies and their sexuality and the feminine, and let's say men would access that more, as in like not go towards more is better, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever destruction or, you know, those kind of superficial ideals and values. Let's talk on a practical level, 2020. Mm. How do you think 2020 would have played out if we lived in a world like that where your vision is manifest?
Oh, can you imagine if all the leaders of the world and the medical experts and everyone were in a space of collaboration and question asking and being open to being wrong, you know, and being open to receive wisdom and to share that, rather than holding on to old ways of doing things that are clearly not working. I think there would have been some really beautiful opportunities there for society, a world as a whole, to all get on the same page, rather than this country adopting these rules and that country doing that. And, you know, rather than like inspiring everybody to come together and be part of this massive collective change, because there's nobody on the planet that's not been affected by this year. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been impacted, and that's massive. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just thinking, as you're talking, I'm just thinking of, you know, I feel like there's so many conversations today about like how everybody's doing it in the wrong way and how, you know, like obviously like it's just a mess and only Eve and all of that. Mm-hmm. And while I agree with that, a lot of the times I think about, like even when you were talking, I think a lot about, because I'm someone that, you know, I kind of tend to look at like always see the coin from both sides. Mm-hmm. And think about, well, you know, even like Trump, for example, or like today, I think the biggest danger is actually everything is black and white. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, let's go from this into that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so while you were talking, I was thinking about, well, I honestly believe that people do the best they can mm-hmm. with the resources available. Mm-hmm. And yes, sometimes people are completely disconnected from that. But honestly, deep down inside, they just do the best they can. Yeah. And I see, for example, in the world, you know, there is a lot of collaboration and mm-hmm. a lot of stuff happening, you know, to the better. Obviously, it could be a lot better. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes in these conversations, we don't give enough credit to even those medical professionals yeah. who are disconnected to from their bodies. You know, I mean, this is a massive hit. And mm-hmm. and obviously, like, nobody was ready for that. Yeah. And literally people, like, sometimes, you know, obviously I live in Australia and I see the news mostly here, but I'm sure it's in the world. Like, I look at that poor prime minister. Like, I literally sit there and you know, there's so much bashing in any government. Mm-hmm. But even, like, when I think, okay, let's talk about Trump, because Trump is, like, a very different, you know, very unique guest. But I just thought about, you know, I look at it, this poor guy, Scott Morrison, you know, like, mm-hmm. who's the prime minister of Australia. I'm like, can you imagine, like, even in the hot days of COVID, can you imagine having this job and, like, waking up every day, going and trying to bloody figure it out and doing the best you can and being backlashed by so and dealing with that shit yeah. while you're trying to do your best. Mm-hmm. And of course you're gonna make mistakes and everything. And so that's why for me, like, not everything is as black and white. Mm-hmm. And I truly see a world where we are, you know, I mean, obviously I agree with you, Mangala. It's like, of course, if we're connected to our bodies and our sexuality and tapping into our feminine, everything would be so much better. Yes. But at the same time, it's like, well, yeah, but we are doing the best we can. And what can I do today to, like, even, you know, think about or develop empathy for what's happening right now and for the world leaders who are human just like me
yeah.
and who are put in these positions, or, well, they wanted to get out there and seeing, well, this guy's having a tough time. Yeah. You know, he's making shitty decisions, but like I imagine, what would I do? You know, if I was put in that, like, it's easy to sit here in my little apartment in our corner in Canberra and be like, that guy's freaking stupid. Yeah. Like, you know, like, try. Go out and try and be the president or the prime minister of a country yeah. who's in a pandemic.
Yeah. Totally.
And figure that out. Mm-hmm. And instead of sitting there, you know what I mean? And so the same thing with the patriarchy, like when you're talking about, obviously, you know, the taboos and everything, that is so true. And I love that. I mean, obviously, you're like, you're saying female sexuality is dangerous and all of that. When I look at the whole patriarchy 2,000 years ago or whatever, like, I understand why that happened. Like, it happened because of fear. Mm-hmm. Men were very scared about, I don't understand how this works. A woman's body is a wonderland. What the hell is this blood coming out? Like, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah.
That's the, well, I guess I'm sharing with you now my vision for the world and feminism in general. It's like, all right, well, this happened. We are different now. We can see differently.
Yeah.
How can we now move forward instead of, you know, move forward in a way that doesn't bash anyone, blame anyone,
exactly.
sit there and, like, dissect whatever.
Yeah.
Like, how can we do this now together, knowing that, yeah, this is what happens, that how it was.
Yeah.
and forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that really needs us, that needs us to be integrated in ourselves and to have this, to look for integrated solutions in a wider context and to look at stuff where, like, oh, these things are not working. These systems are broken. Why don't we try something different? And I feel like the reason of the state of the world is where it's at is because people are clinging to the old ways of being, particularly because of money and profit and greed and all these things, that it's, there are some people in power who are just holding on to what they've got because we haven't developed the other systems to catch us. Yeah,
absolutely. And even in that system, I consider myself an embodied woman. But when I think about my business, and we're both entrepreneurs, I'm sitting there thinking like, well, today it really feels like I want to pull back. And I want to, for example, I know you did, I don't know, was it a year ago or something? I saw a post on your Instagram that you said, taking a pause from Instagram or whatever. Like, I would love to do that. Like, I would love to pause my podcast. I would love to pause my Instagram and say, you know what? For a month, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But then I think about it, I'm like, all right, well, if I just do that, like, what are the repercussions of that?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes definitely there is a time for it. Mm-hmm. And I, I definitely prepare for it. And for example, like, my maternal leave, when that happens for the second time, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But at this time, I'm like, well, if I do that, where am I getting my clients? Like, it's like the business is going to pause and stop.
Yeah.
So that is the challenge of like, well, how the hell do I do that? And that's why I feel like so many of those, even leaders, I mean, men, for example, I think we all would love to just pause and kind of be in our bodies and things like that. But then you think about other things. Like, how am I going to feed my family?
How am I going to pay the bills? Yeah.
How am I going to pay the bills? Yeah. Right. Like, it's easy to sit there and say, and like, oh yeah, I know there is a solution to that. I'm just voicing something I think that so many people think about.
Yeah.
Don't know what's the other way.
Yeah.
In a constant exploration of that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Have you found that solution? My
get more support is the best solution I've found is, delegate wherever we can, get support. And I think if we could collaborate more as well.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to do everything on our own. For me, this is an ongoing journey anyway. That's definitely something I'm still working on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, let's finish up on that with, I'd love to hear your, let's say, top three books that you would love to recommend. And then that change your life and your work, or in general, this could be fiction books, it doesn't matter. And then perhaps top three, I guess, influencers or people or teachers or mentors that you follow and would love to follow as well.
Great. So book-wise, If Women Rose Rooted by Sharon Blackie is an amazing book. And it's been really pivotal on my journey, particularly in moving back to the UK. I don't think I would have actually made it here if I hadn't read that book. It's really inspired me to
be like coming back to your country.
To my roots. And really,
was that the reason why you moved?
It wasn't reading that book that made me move, but reading that book really made it possible for me because I had a lot of stories. I never thought I was coming back, and here I am.
Well, if you ask me, I mean, I probably definitely need to read that book because I'm never coming back to where I came from. It's not in my world. Yeah, so that's interesting.
That was a really amazing book. Another book that I have really got a lot of inspiration from recently is Patriarchy Stress Disorder by Dr. Valerie Ryan. And that's really amazing. She touches on a lot of what we've talked about in this today, just about, how we're stuck in this paradigm of push, 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 and how detrimental that is. And she has some very practical solutions in that book of how to overcome that and look at things from a different perspective. So that's a really, really good book.
Mm-hmm.
One more book. I've read so many good fiction books recently. Yeah. I'm going to go with Mists of Avalon because it's a classic.
So I've heard Michaela Bond talk about Mists of Avalon so I couldn't finish that book. It was just like, oh, she's back here again and there. I'm like, bloody hell, like I can't finish that.
It gets really dense in the kind of that final, in you know, there is a point where it gets really, really dense. There's definitely, I feel very, very connected to the land and the energy in Glastonbury. And it is part of this coming home journey for me.
Right.
And so I was there last week for the equinox, and I knew in my system, I was in Uluru for the last equinox in March. That was as the world was shutting down, and I was supposed to leave and come back to the UK then, like a week later. And all my flights got cancelled, everything else. So it's like, all right, I'm locked down in Australia instead. Stayed in Australia and then made it over to the UK. And so for this equinox, I just had this intense pull that I need to be in Glastonbury. And so it was really profound. And I woke up one morning and opened the curtains of the place where I was staying, and the mist was just everywhere, and it was just so magical. I was like, oh wow, these mists are real, you know, it's not just this fictional thing. And it's like, yeah, so I feel like there's some very deep stuff there in the exploration that I'm going through in my personal journey at the moment. So yeah,
cool, beautiful. And who are some of the people that you'd recommend following?
Oh wow, so many. Let me think. So Michaela Bowen, my mentor, is amazing. She's really grounded and wise and very, very switched on. And there's no nonsense, just really clear and direct. And
I've interviewed her on the podcast as well, by the way.
Yeah.
I've done some stuff with her, and I'm still, you know, I'll take a course with her as well, to depending on, I mean, she's doing all these workshops with Steve, which Steve was also on the podcast as well.
Oh, great. Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, so those guys are great. Other people that I really inspire and would recommend checking out, Saida Desolay is amazing as well.
How do you spell her last name?
Desilets. And she teaches a lot about jade egg practices and embodied sensuality. She has a background in the Taoist tradition, and she's, the workshops that I've done with her have just been so, so subtle and really nuanced and really profound. So she's really got something very, very special. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On a different tack, I'm going to throw in my business coach, my mentor, Emily Utter, and she's amazing.
Oh, you're working with Emily?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
she's Emily's a good friend of mine.
Oh, cool.
I call her like a colleague.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Beautiful. I also interviewed Emily on the podcast, but it was like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, this is it, Mangala. Thank you so much. Where can listeners find you and get to know more about your work and, you know, even get in touch with you?
Yeah, so my website is mangalaholland.com. That's just my name. You can find me there. I'm much more active on Facebook than I am on Instagram.
Yeah.
Which is a Generation X thing, maybe. Yeah,
awesome. All right, cool. Anything else you'd like to share or express before we finish?
This has been really awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Mangala. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep in touch.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, beautiful women, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Mangala Holland. As you know, we put a lot of effort and energy in bringing you these guests and interviewing them, and we have a whole team behind us, and obviously me. So I would love for you to give back and charge your karmic energy. And the best way you can do that is actually leave a podcast review and a rating. It's super easy. If you're listening to this on your iPhone, go to the podcasts app and then simply search for Climbed, and then you'll see Climbed and scroll down, leave a five-star review, hopefully. And then that you're going to see their link to write a review and write a quick review. I really, really appreciate it. And this also puts us up with the charts and lets other women know what's available and that this is for them. So I'd love for you to do that, or you can do the same thing in, I think it's now called Podcasts app on your phone. And if you're an Android, then it's a little bit of a different process, but works in the same way. And if you don't know how to do that and want to do that, please message me on Instagram. You can find me at Anna Rova. And in general, if you have any questions or feedback, or you want to just say hello and introduce yourself, I love talking to my listeners. So go to Instagram and send me a message. All right. And you'll find all the show notes for this episode at girlskill.com/177. This is where all the links to everything Mangala mentions and also links to her interest, to her website are going to be there as well. All right, I'll see you on our next episode. Bye. All right, girlfriends, hope you enjoyed listening or watching to this episode. And if you did, and if you resonate with most of the things I'm saying and you want to learn more and you want to finally start attracting masculine men, I have an invitation for you. So as you know, I am committed and passionate about helping successful women attract and keep committed masculine men. So I have a personal invitation for you. If you're resonating with everything and you're ready to step up and invest in yourself and take things to the next level, I would love, love, love to talk to you and see if you would be a fit for my work and what I do. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm inviting you, and it's a personal invitation, if you resonate, because I don't work with everyone and I'm not here to just, you know, make a quick buck and whatever. I'm here committed to your result, and I will make sure that we go until the end and that we get you the result that you want, which is start attracting better men. So I invite you to sign up to actually apply for a free discovery call with me. It's a call that is 1 hour long. And what we do is we talk about your current situation, where you are today, and what's wrong, quote unquote, wrong with your dynamics with men, what you don't like. And then we're going to talk about what you really want and where you want to get. And at the end, if I find that that's a good fit, I'll tell you what I do and I'll offer you to join us and how we could work together. So just to give you a bit of context, this experience is all about, and what I'm going to offer to only if I find that that's a good fit, is about, number one, putting yourself in the best position to start attracting committed masculine men, and not through tactics and techniques or tips, tricks, whatever, but just by being you and understanding and appreciating men, thus creating a deeper relationship with yourself as a feminine essence woman and attract better committed masculine men. Number two, it's all about letting go of overworking perfectionism and the need to control by overcoming your limiting beliefs, patterns, and obstacles to rediscover your worth and enoughness, and rebuilding your faith in your own voice, in your own decisions, and exploring your boundaries, and so on and so on. Number three, it's all about letting your body lead, stop overthinking, and start trusting your gut and your heart when it comes to making decisions, expanding and embracing your range of emotions, cultivating sense of awareness and pleasure, and feeling more without apologizing for it. And I know if you're here, you understand and you know that the path to your masculine man, who's a conscious, healthy man, is through you. It's through embracing your feminine nature. It's through running with the wolves and embracing your wild feminine side and actually gaining power from it. And a healthy masculine man will only be attracted to that if you get to that place yourself. And last but not least, it's all about becoming deeply connected to yourself as a woman. Understand what true femininity is, exploring deeper levels of intimacy, and finally becoming free, lighter, and open. Embracing basically the feminine side of polarity, because again, this is what your masculine man wants. And it's all about stop living in the masculine energy by pushing, doing, and choosing all the time, and start living, enjoy freedom and your wild nature, where you can surrender, where you can finally let go. Trust me, this is an amazing place to be, and it's easy and joyful, and it feels natural and feels like a woman. So if you resonate, go to girlskill.com/apply, and there's going to be a short survey, step one, just apply there. And then the next step is to schedule a call with me. It's going to be an hour. We have fun on this call, so I hope to see you there. And my calendar is booked for another, my calendar is open for another week. So go ahead and do that. If you don't see times that are available for you, make sure you email me, because I'll always make time for you to make sure that you get your spot. All right, girlfriend, keep running with wolves, and I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.